Well, as the song says, we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So we're going to dive right in. Usually, if you're visiting with us, usually here at Westminster, we work our way through books of the Bible in our sermon series. And starting October 8th, we'll begin a series in the book of Galatians. But as we are beginning this new work in College Station, the beginning of a new school year, we're spending several weeks looking at that motto that I mentioned, that we are a gospel community for life's journey. And last week, Pastor Wade spoke some of on the gospel, and I'm going to speak some more about the gospel this morning. And then we'll spend 2 weeks on community, and then a week on life's journey. So that's where we're heading in the next several weeks. Most of you are back in school now, so a brief grammar lesson here. Okay, what is a noun? A noun names a person, place, thing, or idea. Okay, hey, teachers are a little happy. Okay, we won't do that for all of them. You know, a verb describes an action or a state of being, and an adjective is a word that describes a noun in some way, either what it looks like, what kind, what type, the number. Well, I'm talking about gospel this morning. And the reality is that in our world, in our church world, we use the gospel in a lot of different ways. Even in the Greek language, the gospel can be used as a noun. The gospel can be used as a verb. We don't generally use gospel as a verb. Or it can be used as an adjective. And what that tends to do is you hear the word gospel thrown around all over the place. You hear it, there's a gospel coalition. There's a gospel project. There's books on gospel-centered marriage. There's books on gospel parenting. There's books on gospel evangelism. There's books on gospel discipleship. There's books on, or there's music that's called gospel music. We can use the word gospel in such a way that we begin to lose any sense of what it really means and what the gospel is. And so really for our time together, for the moments we have together, that's really the main question I want to address is, what is the gospel? Not what are the benefits of the gospel, not what are the things that flow out of the gospel, though those are important and we're going to touch on those, but what is the gospel itself? Because if we confuse what the gospel itself is, it will lead us astray. That we will take even the good things that flow from the gospel, if we tend to treat those as if they were the gospel itself, then we will have missed the gospel. And instead of having right and true worship, we will actually end up in idolatry. Which is not, in case you were wondering, idolatry is not where you want to end up. It's kind of what you want to get away from. And so what is the gospel? Simply put, the gospel is the person and work of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the person and work of Jesus Christ. In our passage, we have this situation which arises where James and John make this request of Jesus. They want to be on his right hand and his left hand, which is basically saying we want to be in the positions of prominence. We want to be in the position of power. We want to be, you know, Jesus, we understand we can't be you, but we want to be as near to you, not like near like close, relationally, but we want to be as near to you in power and glory and authority. And Jesus has a little conversation with them. And then we're told that the 10 other disciples hear what James and John have done, and they're indignant. And I think that it's probably a good assumption that the reason they're indignant is because they didn't think of it first, to make the request first. And then Jesus has to address them and go, brothers, you're going to be different. The way you view leadership and authority and relationship is not going to be like what you've been used to. It's not going to be like the Gentiles and the way they do things. In the kingdom, if you want to be the greatest, you got to become the least. If you want to be the top dog, you got to become a servant of all. And then it drives us to verse 45, which says, what brings it out? Why? Why is it going to be different? Why is there going to be this transformation? Why will there be this kind of flipping of the way things are? Because of Jesus. Not because there's some new theory on leadership out there. Not because there's something inherent in the disciples that are going to make them able to do this in and of themselves. All that passage is leading up to, driving towards verse 45, which says, this transformation is coming about because Jesus, the Son of Man, which is Jesus' favorite reference, the way he refers to himself. It says the Son of Man, the most common way he refers to himself. It's an Old Testament title. You can go in your afternoon and read Daniel 7 and you'll find that title there if you want some background to it. But what Jesus is saying is that the reason there will be this change is because of Him. He is the gospel. The message of the gospel is about Jesus. If you move away from Jesus, no matter what your intentions are, no matter what your motivations are, no matter what success you might have, if you move away from Jesus, you're moving in a bad direction. So what is the gospel? The gospel is this, that the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, stepped out and stepped into this world without losing any of His deity, but taking upon Himself full humanity, being born of a virgin, having been conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus lived a perfect life. When we say a perfect life, what we mean is Jesus had no sin to confess because He never sinned. That according to the law of God, everything that God said you ought to do, Jesus did. And everything that God said don't do, Jesus didn't do. And that having lived a perfect life, He then died on the cross for sins. Not His sins because He didn't have any, but for my sins and your sins because we have plenty. That He was dead, that He was buried. 3 days later, God raised Him from the grave. 40 days later, He ascended into heaven, where He sits at the right hand of God the Father, right now, interceding for us, and one day, He will come back, He will wrap up the history here, He will usher in a new heavens and a new earth, and we will enjoy Him, and fellowship with Him, and worship of Him forever. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. It's about Jesus. You know, Mike and I didn't talk what he was going to say to Ben, but he got it. God kind of works, doesn't He, in that way, brother, right? At the end of the day, the gospel is about Jesus. Who He is, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do. You know, most of you know that I'm a big fan of the Chronicles of Narnia. If you don't, that means you're either new here or you haven't been listening. But you talk to people, I talk to people, you know, who their favorite character is. There's 7 books, so there's lots of characters. My favorite is Puddleglum, the marsh wiggle. There's lots of reasons for that. But if you ask who the main character is in the Chronicles of Narnia, it's Aslan. He's actually the only character who's in all 7 books. And I think that was purposeful. Because at the end of the day, the books are about Aslan. About who He is and what He has done and what He is doing and what He is going to do. It's the same for Jesus. You know, people have questions. You know, every time you do something new, people have questions. And one of the questions that people have about this new work that we're going to do in College Station is, how will it be similar to what we do here and how will it be different? How will it be alike and how will it be have its own flavor? And it will have its own flavor. You know Ben, it will have its own flavor. But can I be serious for a moment? The one thing that will be the same is that Jesus will be at the center of what we are doing in College Station. Worship may seem a little different. The various ministries that may happen may be different. But Jesus will be at the center of it. And some of you may go, well, we don't want it to be too similar. You want it to be similar. You want it to be the same on that point. Because if the College Station congregation doesn't have Jesus at the center, we're going to be in a bad way. Jesus has to be at the center. Because the gospel is about Jesus. It's a declaration of a message of a historical reality. But here's the thing. It's a reality that changes everything. It changes everything. Because Jesus has come and lived and died and been raised and ascended and rules and reigns and is coming again, that there's benefits that flow from that are mind-blowing. That every single one of your sins forgiven. Even the ones that you don't know about or aren't aware of. Every single one. That the God of the universe who you were an enemy of is now your heavenly Father. And you are not at enmity with Him, but you are at peace with Him. That's not the gospel. That's a benefit of the gospel, but it's a glorious benefit, is it not? That you are declared right before God. That God sent His Holy Spirit to indwell you, to empower you, to live holy lives, to sanctify you. That you have been adopted as sons and daughters of the great King. And that because of the gospel, because of what Jesus has done, and because of who Jesus is, you have eternal life. I love heaven. Well, I haven't been there. I love the thought of heaven. And again, if you've been here for any amount of time, it's not going to surprise you what our closing hymn is going to be when we come to the table. But let me say this. If we make the benefits the focus, and if we start to put our focus on the gifts and away from the giver, we are moving in a perilous path. If I become more excited about heaven than I do about Jesus, about the fact that heaven is basically being with Jesus forever, then I'm missing the point. And the same goes for the ministry that we do. Raise your hand if you think evangelism is important. Oh my goodness, we got work to do, Wade. Raise your hands if you think marriage is important. Okay? Raise your hand if you think raising kids is an important thing that you do if you have kids or are going to have kids. Planning a church in College Station, do you think that's important? Yes? Now, Ben, be excited. They're actually raising their hands more for that than for the evangelism. The gospel informs and empowers and transforms all of those things. But if you begin to think that those things are the gospel, you'll miss Jesus, which means you'll miss the gospel. I mean, some of it just makes sense. How can you do evangelism, which is kind of the word where we get from the gospel, and it comes from the Greek word for gospel. How can you do evangelism if you're not going to tell people about Jesus? What do they teach kids in these schools? Logic. Why don't they teach logic in these schools? It makes no sense. If you're going to grow discipleship, whatever you want to call it, sanctification, and that's not done with any reference to Jesus, then you're on another man-made treadmill to try and make yourself better. Even your worship. If you come here and you come here because for worship, but you're not worshiping God, then who are you worshiping? You see, in our passage, right, Jesus, it all drives to Jesus, but because of Jesus, it transforms everything. He looks at his disciples in this particular instance and goes, everything you thought about what it was going to mean to be a member of the kingdom is completely wrong. Because you all are thinking in worldly terms. You're thinking that being part of the kingdom means you get to be in charge, that you get to be top dog, that you get to be the one in authority, that you get to be the one making decisions, that you get to be the one who everybody is bowing down to. And he says, no, because of Jesus, that all gets flipped around. You want to be great? You serve. You want to be first? You're last. And you can find Jesus saying that kind of stuff all throughout the Gospels. We could have gone to who knows how many passages to make the point. Go read the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is all about the kingdom and basically going, all the ways that you think it should be done, you're wrong. But because of Jesus and who He is and what He's done, it all gets flipped around. It changes everything. So it's not that we have the gospel here and then all the other things, but it's understanding that the reality of the gospel, of who Jesus is and what He has done and is doing and will do, drives how we parent, drives how we do marriage, drives how we do evangelism, drives how we do discipleship, drives how we church plant, drives how we do missions, drives how we do life, drives how we work. Students, it drives how you study and your life as a student. If you're a Christian, because Jesus has come, because it is a reality of who Jesus is and what He has done, that should make you a different student. You should study a different way. You should study with a different purpose. You should study with a greater view in mind than simply getting a good job that pays a lot of money. And now people go, oh man, that's kind of harsh to the students. That's for all of you. That's for me. If I'm up here preaching so that you all think highly of me, if I'm up here preaching to do a little song and dance, what good is that? But I'm here because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. That's going to affect our worship. That's going to affect our work. It's going to affect our families. It's going to affect our ministry. It's going to affect our mission. It's going to affect our community. And so, here's my payoff point. And this is, because of all the other things going on, I'm preaching a little bit shorter today, so don't get your hopes that this is how we usually preach longer than this. At the end of the day, we all have to deal with Jesus. Because He is the gospel. If you're here today, you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, we're glad you're here. And you may have a lot of questions about a lot of different things. And we'd be glad to talk with you about those things. But I'll be up front with you. Eventually, we're going to talk about Jesus. You know, Matt Chandler, who's a pastor of the Village Church in Dallas, he tells a story about how on his street, you know, he sees his street in his neighborhood as kind of one of his primary mission fields. And when somebody new moves in, he goes down and he introduces himself and they kind of doing the introductory things. And, hey, where are you from? Where you been? All those kind of things. And, of course, it always gets around to what do you do for a living? And he goes, you know, of course, he says, well, I'm a pastor. And he says he can see it in their eyes. He can see it in their faces. Everybody kind of gets a little bit, oh, boy. They should have told us that on the information sheet about the neighborhood. And he just looks at him and smiles and says, yeah, we're going to have that conversation someday. Not today, but we're going to have that conversation. If you're here and you're not a believer, again, we're glad you're here. Love to talk with you, but I'll be up front. Eventually, we're going to talk about Jesus, because if we don't talk about Jesus, then we're just spinning our wheels. Because Jesus is the reality that changes everything. And for those of you who are Christians, you don't get to just have a one-time conversation with Jesus and then move on from Jesus. Right? Each of you this day has areas where you need to be having a conversation with Jesus. Some of you have sin that you're allowing to just be in you and control you because you like it too much. And Jesus says, because I am, because of what I've done, we need to deal with that sin. Some of you have doubts. And Jesus says, because of who I am and because of what I've done, we can talk about your doubts. I've got things to say about your doubts. For some of you, you're sad because you've got grief and you have losses and hurts. And Jesus says, because of who I am and because of what I've done and am doing and will do, let's talk about your grief and your sadness and your sorrow. Westminster, it's all about Jesus. And if you think there's something more, it's like Jesus plus something. No. You need Jesus for it all. Jesus for the kingdom. Jesus for your life. Jesus for your family. Jesus for the ministry of this church. Jesus to plant a church in College Station. Jesus to reach to the ends of the earth. Saints, focus your hearts and your minds and your souls on Jesus. Whatever your situation. Because the fact of who He is and what He has done and is doing and will do changes it all. Let's pray together. Father, it's nice words to say that it's all about Jesus. It sounds good. It's a nice, catchy slogan. But I pray that you would make it reality for us. That we would be overwhelmed anew with the reality of the gospel. Of all of who Jesus is, fully God, fully man. And of all that He has done and is doing and will do. That would captivate us. That it would be the center of all of who we are and all that we do. But that we would not confuse Jesus with all the things that we do. Or all the benefits that come from who He is and what He's done. But that in all things, Jesus would be preeminent. That in all things, He would be the center. That in all things, He would be the head. That in all things, He would receive all the honor and glory and praise. And that we would wait with expectant hearts for His return. We pray that you would do this again so that Jesus would be exalted and in His name. Amen.